Welcome to Water for Life, a program showcasing and educating on issues regarding the scarce and precious resource, water. We are on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, broadcasting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Today, we highlight issues relating to wastewater treatment and disposal. I'm Sheila Bell. Stay tuned. Water is termed the giver of life. Human existence or any form of life would not be possible in the absence of water. The availability and use of water as a utility and its importance to human existence and life is being borne and attested by everybody.
Water is very important to me. I can't live without it.
Water is of utmost importance.
The water is important to me for my life.
Water is important to every living thing, human beings, animals, more especially human beings. It's extremely important, more than food itself.
Water is very important. It, as they say, gives life. It's very important.
I wouldn't be able to go through my daily life without being able to drink water, use it for washing myself, my dishes, that sort of thing. It's very important.
To me, water is very, very important. Because without water, you cannot survive. You cannot do absolutely nothing.
Water helps me with everything in life. It's very important to the life because, I mean, it helps me with my cleanliness, it helps me with cooking. Without water, I can't survive.
However, not many people are sure of the ultimate end, or the end product, wastewater.
It's really unlimited. They put a pill in it, then they clean the water.
Used water, where does it end? I don't know.
The end of the water is going to the storage, then they clean, again it's coming back. I think so, I don't know. They start to clean again, squeeze and do everything with machines.
Used water? It ends up in the storage.
They recycle it, don't they? They use chemicals.
I think it ends up in water plants where it gets recycled so we can use it again. It's treated with chemicals.
I don't know, what do they do with the water? Where does it go to? It's wastage.
Karen Bosman, the manager of resource protection and waste at the Department of Water and Forestry, informs that more than being a critical utility, water is a resource which, however, is finite, scarce, and precious.
Water is a finite resource. In general, water is a scarce resource, although it seems overabundant and we turn open a tap and there's the water. South Africa is regarded as a dry country because we are below the average rainfall that is set worldwide. Worldwide it's about 1,000 millimeters per year, and we're learning about 700 to 800 millimeters per year. In some parts of our country it's as low as 200 millimeters per year, and then on the east coast we can get up to 1,000, 1,200. But average, we are a dry or arid country, a water-scarce country. But water is a renewable resource purely due to the fact that aquatic ecosystems naturally cleans our water resources for us. And for that reason, we have to be specifically prudent when we manage our water to make sure that we don't overuse it and it cannot be replenished and renewed as a resource on an ongoing basis.
Water as a resource cannot be owned by an individual.
The first principle is that nobody owns water. Nobody's got a right to water. It is a resource that belongs to everybody. And through our constitution and through our national water legislation, the government keeps that resource in custodianship or in trusteeship. You can ask for a right to use water. And you ask for that right to use water by applying for a water use license to the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry, or her officials.
However, since water usage is connected with the generation of waste, in addition to Water Rights Act, the government has enacted legislation to control and safeguard the resource.
We are people, and as people, we have an impact on the environment. We cannot move away from the fact that there will be waste. People have toilets in their houses. We are waste-generating factories as individuals. These facts that we're living in a modern society, in a modern world, where there are industries producing things, mines are mining coal so that we can have electricity, all of us generating waste, sewage works from local government, this waste needs to be managed in a responsible manner. The impact thereof, disposing on land or discharging into a water resource, it affects the human use of the water resource. Some people use groundwater, so your disposal of waste on land affects the use of groundwater. And some people discharge into rivers, and obviously we need to abstract water from the rivers to have it for our use as well. The sensitivity of the receiving environment and what water is going to be used for. Agricultural users have specific needs. Industrial users, obviously people with drinking water. Sports like canoeing or swimming, which require bodily contact, that plays a role in protecting the resource. So we deal now with disposal discharge in a very much in a similar way in order to ensure that we can protect the water resource, groundwater, surface water, against potentially harmful impacts from such disposal or discharge. And to ensure that, we have legislation in place. The main legislative tool that we have is the National Water Act, but also the National Environmental Management Act, and both of those within the context of the Constitution.
Despite there being legislation in place to safeguard the abuse of the resource, water pollution is still a danger.
There is industries, all of them are sources of potential waste. There is no industry which does not have waste. We've got, for example, the steelmaking industry who's got their specific processes, and they have wastes and effluents. You have the winemaking industry even, who also have wastes and effluents, and so the breweries. There is no industry which does not have waste. But what we are trying to get these industries to do is to take their responsibilities and to deal with the environmental problems by giving commitments on how to improve their systems. Example of the Van der Bell Park Works, which although they were built in the 1940s, they never had a separate system for stormwater and dirty water, and they had a very difficult factory layout. And by spending millions of rands, they actually changed their system to, within the stormwater system, put in an effluent system, so that these two things are no longer mixed. And that's contributed greatly to improvement. The whole ISO 14001 environmental management system is based on the concept of continual improvement. And that is but one of the many ways in which to implement pollution control and to protect the water resource. What we expect industry to do is to treat their waste and dispose or discharge it in such a manner that we can meet the objectives for the resource. If we dispose waste, we may not impact on groundwater, so that people cannot use it. If we discharge effluent into a river, we are also not supposed to impact on the surface water in such a way that it becomes less fit or less beneficial for use by people.
However, biological pollution is the greatest danger to the resource.
The number one threat in our country, which I think is bacteriological pollution, untreated or imperfectly treated sewage landing into the river, can lead to various detrimental effects. This also can create direct health problems, as many people have to use water directly from the river due to lack of basic water supply services.
This has necessitated close monitor of local government controlled sewage operations.
The local government has got a particular problem in that the population growth and expansion becomes directly their problem, and under our constitution they must provide a service. They must, as if any industry or mine, also apply for a water use license, and they also need to comply to the conditions of the water use license and the National Water Act, but also the National Environmental Management Act. But they're always lagging behind. So what we've done is to specifically create regulations which is to be promulgated shortly on the operation of sewage works, trying to get that standard lifted so that we can have a better operation of our sewage works, and then thereby ensuring that there is compliance with the license conditions, the National Water Act and the National Environmental Management Act.
Johannesburg is South Africa's biggest city. It is also South Africa's industrial hub, accounting for almost 60% of South Africa's industrial output. The city as such has a particular wastewater production and management problem that is unsurpassed by any other city or town in South Africa and the rest of Africa at large. Johannesburg Water is Johannesburg City's local government institution that is tasked with the provision of all the city's water needs and also tasked with the management of the resultant wastewater. Vanita Ruas, Johannesburg Water's Executive Manager Operations, informs on the size and complexity of Johannesburg City water supply and wastewater management system.
Joburg Water is the water and sanitation service provider for the city of Johannesburg, serving in excess of 3 million people from Midrand in the north down to Orange Farm in the south, and covering an area of approximately 1,626 square kilometers. On the water side, the services provided by Joburg Water include the reticulation of approximately 1,200 megalitres of water per day through a system of some 10,000 kilometres of water mains and 117 reservoirs and towers, 37 pumping stations. On the sewer side, Johannesburg Water collects the sewage generated by approximately 540,000 sewer connections through a network of some 9,500 kilometers of sewer mains and 35 sewer pumping stations. The volume of sewage collected per day is approximately 980 megalitres, and this is treated through six sewage treatment works, four of which are located in the south of the city and two in the north. In particular, one third of all the sewage generated is treated at the northern treatment works, and that is on average 360 megalitres a day. The northern works collects and treats mainly domestic sewage from areas such as Alexandra, Sandton, Randburg, the northern areas of Johannesburg, Bedford View, portions of Edenvale and Germiston as well.
Dr. Tony Pittman, Johannesburg Water Quality and Process Manager, informs on the diverse sources of wastewater.
The wastewater going to our treatment plants comes from throughout the city. Wherever there's a waterborne sewage system, we collect that water. All the water from your house, baths, basins, toilets, clothes washing, dishwashing is collected by us. Also the wastewater from office buildings, institutions like schools, hospitals, warehouses and large industries which use a lot of water, such as Coca-Cola, food industry, the leather industry, the yeast factory. We also get effluents from electroplaters, pharmaceutical industries, chemical industries, detergent manufacturers, etc. These are all collected together and flow to our works. Now, unlike other cities, Johannesburg is a commercial city. We haven't got large, heavy industries. We haven't got any paper mills or steel mills or anything like that. So we're quite fortunate that we don't get any bad industrial effluents.
However, industrial effluents are of major concern.
Heavy metals are metals such as zinc, copper, lead, nickel, chromium. Another one is mercury. And they're used in many industries, particularly metal finishing, such as electroplating, in car batteries, galvanizing, etc. And a lot of these effluents can come into wastewater. In Johannesburg, we have certain industries like that, and they discharge into our sewers. We have to control the level of metals that they discharge, because in certain concentrations, they are toxic to humans, and they can also be toxic to animals. If it comes down a treatment plant, it can also be toxic to bacteria, so it can kill the bacteria in our processes. So we have to control metals to protect our biological processes on the treatment plants. We also have to protect our waste products. We produce sewage sludge and compost, and these go to agriculture. These sludges, if they contain metals, the metals are taken up into the plant and can be toxic to the plant, so-called phytotoxicity, or they can be toxic to the people that eat the plants and the animals that graze on the plants. So it's important to keep the concentration of metals low. and we restrict what industries can put down, wastewater. We also force them to neutralize acids and alkalis because they're also harmful to our processes.
This has resulted in the industry being closely monitored.
Industrial effluent management and control falls under my management. The section that does that, they do inspections. They advise industries on what they can do and what they can't do. We enforce the City of Johannesburg's bylaws so that they comply with what they can do as far as discharge is concerned. As I said earlier, the control of heavy metals, acids, alkalis, and also materials which can block sewers or cause explosions. You can imagine if you put petrol down a sewer and you've got people working in the sewer and they light a match, you can blow the whole sewer up. So we control what industries put down.
Organic material forms the bigger part of pollutants in sewerage, and they are of major concern.
Transporting waste from a city by water is rather inefficient because you're using a large amount of water to transport a small amount of human waste. But that's why it's developed historically, and that's what we have to deal with. The basic reasons for treating wastewater are a few. The main one is to comply with the government or state regulations which are given to us in our water discharge licenses, to protect the aquatic environment and to protect public health and to produce a water that is suitable for reuse. So we have certain effluent standards which come under a license. For example, at Northern Works we have a license for the discharge of certain nutrients. And if you discharge a waste such as sewage or feces into surface water, the first thing that's going to happen is that the bacteria in the water, the aerobic bacteria, will start eating this waste, which is their foodstuff, and they'll consume the small amount of oxygen that's dissolved in the water to breathe virtually, and as they multiply, they'll reduce the oxygen reservoir in the water. And as soon as this drops, it kills off virtually all aerobic life in the river, so all fish, etc., die. The river can go black and be a big smelly dead mess, so we have to treat organic and other oxygen-consuming compounds such as ammonia. Other important pollutants are so-called plant and nutrients such as nitrogen and phosphorus, for example ammonia, nitrate, phosphate, which come down into our treatment plants from mainly domestic uses. In the waste that we humans produce, there is nitrogen and phosphorus from the waste food that we can't process. And a lot of phosphorus comes from washing powders. If these compounds, which are plant nutrients, are discharged into a lake or a static body of water, they'll stimulate the growth of aquatic plants, such as water hyacinths, water algae, weeds, etc. And these can grow very prolifically, as has happened in our Hartbeespoort Dam, and then the water becomes very expensive to treat. And the dam is not suitable for recreation because there can be a big green smelly mess. Also, certain algae produce toxins which they release into the water. Unfortunately for man, nature is very adaptable. Plants can grow at very low levels of phosphorus. For example, 0.1 part per million of phosphorus will stimulate algae, particularly in our climate where there's long, sunny, hot days. Also, sewage contains pathogenic bacteria and other organisms such as viruses, etc. Typical diseases which can be spread via the water route are typhoid, cholera, ascaris infections such as roundworm, salmonella, and other diarrheal diseases. So we have to disinfect the wastewater that we put into a treatment plant.
Wastewater is collected and conveyed through a complex network of sewers. Various natural and physical obstacles have to be overcome in the process.
The flow of sewage effluent from the customer's house, so the customer's toilet system and plumbing within your kitchen and so forth, will be connected to the sewer system. Initially in running into small collector sewers, and those ones then drain into your bigger outfall sewers. Essentially, the characteristic of sewage is that it flows under gravity. In other words, where we can, we try and follow the topography of the land This is cheaper in terms of the fact that you don't then have to pump and use energy costs. This is not always possible because, of course, the land doesn't just follow one specific gradient. So where we hit localized low points for which the sewer cannot drain any further, we will have pumping stations and we'll pump the sewer upwards again. The location of your sewer treatment works is concerned is you will try and locate it at a relative low point so that you could drain all of your sewerage towards that with minimal effort from a pumping or electricity consumptive point of view. Your sewers will generally also be designed as being essentially self-cleansing, therefore meaning that they will clean themselves as the effluent flows down them. I would like to point out, however, what is important is that a self-cleansing sewer has a certain gradient, so it has a certain steepness, which will then allow it to be self-cleansing. However, if sewers are abused or misused in the sense that rags or toilet paper or unnecessary amounts of sand are thrown into the sewers, this will cause a blockage of the sewer. Our sewer pipes vary, but when one looks at the really big outfall sewer pipes that we have, they are up to diameters of 3 meters, and the type of capacities that they can often carry are, in the case of the northern outfall, our dip slurp pipe, it is up to about 700 megaliters per day. The volume that a pipe can carry is not just dependent on the diameter of the pipe, it is also dependent on the gradient, the fall of the pipe, because that will determine how quickly the effluent rushes through it. We also have other outfall sewers, which the ones that drain to the south, for example, are some tunnels that are located very deep underneath the surface with the objective that you are actually draining all the way from a high point, you're draining all the way down to the sewer treatment works.
Sewerage is treated through biological action.
You can treat wastewater chemically, which are very expensive methods, or biologically, which we use in Johannesburg. And we've developed our own Johannesburg process, which removes virtually all pollutants which can cause a problem in surface waters, such as organic matter, which you find in feces, nitrogen and phosphorus, any matter that will absorb oxygen in surface water.
The treatment of sewerage is undertaken in various stages. In the first stage, inorganic solids are removed. Sean Dickon, Johannesburg Water Best Process Manager, informs.
In Johannesburg, the wastewater is generally treated using complex biological processes. Firstly, we have a preliminary stage in which we remove inorganic matter. Inorganic is material which cannot be changed in their state by microorganisms, such as rags, sticks, plastics, etc. In our primary stage, we first take the screen sewage, which is passed through the screens, through degritters, where sand and stone and other heavy inorganic material is removed by gravity settling. The screenings and grit removed from these two processes are disposed of in landfill sites.
The second stage involves the removal of organic solids and their treatment.
Organic material is that material that can be stabilized using microorganisms. Organic material would be carbon, which is basically fecal matter. The solid matter is separated from the liquid phase for separate treatment operations in circular primary settling tanks. The sludge settles in these tanks and is periodically drawn off from the bottom of the tanks. The liquid is collected in overflow channels and is treated separately from the sludge. In the sludge treatment operation, sludge drawn off from the bottom of the primary settlers is further thickened in sludge thickeners to remove excess liquor before being pumped to sludge digesters. The digestion process is basically a fermentation process in which carbon is stabilized and methane gas and water is produced. The contents of the digesters are heated to around 36 degrees Celsius for a period of between 12 to 16 days. A digester is a sealed concrete tank, the contents of which is heated using steam produced by boilers. During the digestion process, methane gas and water are produced. The methane gas is used in firing boilers, which produces the steam used to raise the temperature of the sludge in the digesters. The methane gas is also used in mixing the contents of the digesters. The digested sludge after the stabilization process is basically safe for disposal. After the digestion process is completed, the sludge is dewatered using belt presses to form a cake, which can be converted into a very useful fertilizer. The sludge cake is either disposed of on farmland or composted. The composting stage consists of the dewatered sludge mixed with wood chips. The mixture is turned daily for a period of 21 days, during which time heat is generated. The compost is turned in order to inject oxygen into the process. After the composting stage, the wood is removed by screening. The wood is then returned to the composting process and the screened material is cured for a period of some 3 months. The compost is marketed as a registered fertilizer called Jogra.
Flow of wastewater is controlled through balancing tanks.
Sewage flows to the works vary during the day and night. Flows are high during the mornings when people rise to attend work and during the evenings when they come back home. At night, these flows drop off when people are in bed. Our balancing tanks are used to remove the variation of these flows to allow a constant rate of sewage to be fed to biological reactors, which are used for the treatment of polluted liquids.
The liquid sewage from the balancing tanks is finally treated and purified in biological reactors, after which it is discharged into the river. Dr. Tony Pittman.
If we look at the biological processes at Northern Work, we basically make use of the aerobic activated sludge process. And there we culture up a mass of bacteria and other organisms which are suspended in the liquid. These are natural bacteria. We grow those bacteria into large amounts, like hundreds of dry tons of bacteria. The process consists of an anaerobic zone where we specifically feed the bacteria that remove phosphorus. In the second anoxic zone, we denitrify, or we make use of that nitrate. Certain other bacteria, they consume that nitrate and they release the nitrogen back into the atmosphere. The third stage of the reactor is the aerobic zone. That's the main oxidation where we oxidize the balance of the organics and we oxidize the ammonia. It's a large reactor. For example, it's got between 30 and 50,000 cubic meters of liquid in, a retention time of about 1 day. We're concentrating in a short time of, let's say, 12 hours, what nature would take weeks or months to do in a large river. We need a large concrete tank. We're putting in energy, we're putting the oxygen by pumping in oxygen from the atmosphere and by the aerators so that the aerobic organisms breathe. We take off the sludge for further treatment and the mixture is then separated in a clarifier to produce a clear liquid, and then we recycle the bugs back to the top again to start their work again. Then the clear liquid that's coming off the top goes down to a chlorination plant where we add liquid chlorine, roughly 2.5 parts per million, and that kills the residual bacteria in the wastewater to make it safe to kill off any disease-producing organisms. That is basically the process.
We have come to the end of our program. And on behalf of producer Isaac Khomo, sound engineer Avelino Ibrahim, and the rest of the team, I'm Sheila Bell. This pilot program was produced and presented by Channel Africa in conjunction with Johannesburg Water, the Water Reticulation and Sanitation Authority of Johannesburg City.